The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Garner Ted Armstrong, religion. That's what it usually says in the paper, the TV guide, no matter what I might talk about with regard to energy crises or food prices or the economy or the ecology and global pollution, the population explosion, mounting crime, world calamities, or the trend in the world in general toward five major world powers and what might occur in a nuclear-armed age at some time in the next few years. If I can talk about the American economy and how sick it is, and the problems of our age in the light of biblical prophecy, you're going to read, nevertheless, Garner Ted Armstrong, Religion. Because if you mention belief in God and belief in the Bible, then that's what it means to society. Now, some people say that I tend to see biblical prophecies being fulfilled in the trends and the conditions about us. I say, on the other hand, if you know, and you know that you know, there is a God, and the Bible is His Word, you could not fail to see the tremendous meaning in the relationship between what is happening in our world today and what Jesus Christ of Nazareth prophesied. That is, if you were to read the book itself. That is, if you knew about the real Jesus and what He said, what He was like, what He looked like, what He came to do, what He would be like if He came to our society today. You know, our society might not move over and make room for a real Jesus Christ if He would come wearing modern 20th century clothing and would appear to people today. How would He appear? What would He be like? What about His disciples? What would be the problems He would receive from the press or the media? What about the churches? Now, I said that I have met various people who have claimed to be Jesus Christ. I thought they were lying. I didn't believe one of them. Now, that makes me some kind of a terrible person, doesn't it, to be that way about somebody who would claim he was Jesus Christ? I remember so well one such experience some years ago when a man, he had kind of brownish, short, cropped hair, and he was dressed rather neatly, but he had a kind of a weird look about him, I thought. I've met people who claim they had imprints of crosses on their forehead, people who've seen visions, people who've been knocked over backwards, people who've fallen down, while they're walking along the street, claim to have been struck by lightning or anything of the kind, had visions and dreams, and claim to be various of the prophets or, you know, and I suppose some religious types would say, well, you idiot, Garner Ted, don't you know it says we shall entertain angels unawares? I've never had anybody tell me he was an angel. I'm willing to go along with that. Somebody says, look, we shall entertain angels unawares. Fine. But these people didn't tell me they were an angel. They tried to tell me they were Christ, and I never believed a single one of them. But this fellow was dressed in light brown, and he came, he sat down opposite my desk. Yes, what can I do for you? He says, I am Jesus Christ. I said, no, you are not. Get out. And I rose to my feet and I took him gently, I do mean it sincerely, gently by the arm, and I said, would you please get out of my office? Is this, he said indignantly, any way to receive me? I said, what gave you the idea that I am receiving you? I'm not receiving you, I am throwing you out. But I threw him out gently. I don't think that I was very crass about it either. Because you see, there's another scripture I know about in the Bible. It says, if any come and bring not this gospel, this message, the doctrine of Jesus Christ that I have come to know and understand in the Bible, that you're not to receive him, and neither are you to bid him Godspeed, or that is, in our modern language, to say, God be with you, which we've shortened down to goodbye. Well, there are various people who claim to have special visions and anointings and special spiritual proclivities that tend to hang around religious groups. I should venture the idea that anybody who is on the radio talking about the Bible, and while I may disagree with a lot of them, and most of them, if not all of them, and they may disagree with me, that's our mutual and collective privileges, I'm sure, I would say one thing we might all have in common, and that is that probably some of these characters who claim to be John the Baptist, or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, or Isaiah, or Christ himself, tend to kind of lurk around the outer fringes and the back doors of religious organizations. And for some reason, I imagine they want to introduce themselves in the hope that I guess somebody in some religious organization who has a kind of a window to the world, and they have a printing press somewhere, or a radio or a television program, will say, hey, I've found the Lord Jesus. And then bless his little bitty heart, there he is. And kind of put him up there in an altar for everybody to look at, stringy hair, complete with a cross, and maybe handing out fish to everybody that goes by. So let's just play with an idea for the time being. And let's just say, what if God had decided to send Jesus Christ of Nazareth to our day The first time, I mean as a carpenter, for much of his life, but at age 30 to begin his ministry today, what would be the difficulties and how would today's society get along with Jesus Christ? Would he be a hermit? Would he be a social recluse? Would he be a kind of a monk? Would he be, you know, wearing the garb of a minister? Would he affect the garb of this or that or the other kind of a church? Some people claim to be spiritual and they're running around with nothing on but a banjo to hide behind. Some people claim to be real spiritual and they're running around handling snakes. Now, I don't want to sell records for anybody, but there's one of the most hilarious people I've heard. His name is called Jerry Clower. And Jerry Clower, apparently, according to him, graduated from, I think, the East Forks Consolidated High School down in Yazoo, Mississippi. And Jerry Clower has got one of the most hilarious records. He's got several of them, I guess. But he was talking one time about having gone to a group of people somewhere down in swampland who made a religious thing out of handling snakes. And he said, now, some of those snakes were 5 feet long. He said, man, looky here, what a snake. He said they tried to hand him one, and he said it wasn't 5 feet long, it was 27 feet long. But he said, I'll tell you one thing about them people. He said, they sure had a lot more faith than I did. Well, you got to hand it to people that pick up deadly, poisonous snakes and make a religion out of it. They've got more faith than Jerry Clower had, and they got a lot more faith than I've got, too. Because I don't believe that I can pick up a snake and get away with it. I don't know what kind of a nut that makes me in some people's eyes, but that's all right. I'm still going to stick to that attitude about it. I'm just going to leave those snakes alone. But if Jesus walked the streets, if he were to walk the streets, would he do that? Or would he ride a bike into your city? Because he would, of course, believe in non-pollutants, wouldn't he? I mean, a la the anti-pollutant groups, and certainly I would say number myself among them, I certainly tried to talk out against it and tried to watch it in my own personal private life, even though people accuse me because I've flown in a jet aircraft quite a bit and driven a modern automobile, which I've admitted on this program burns twice as much gas as it used to before the anti-smog device, which I'm sure I understand because I have faith in my government. Anyhow, maybe someday we'll get that all straightened out. But would he come peddling into your town, maybe white-haired with a long mane of hair flowing and a white robe on a bicycle, with a bunch of dirty old clothing there somewhere, followed by 12 guys, maybe there'll be 12 of them on bicycles. Let's take a look in the next minute to come at what today's society might feel as they reacted to a Jesus Christ, if it would be the kind of a Christ you've always thought about, that society thinks about in the past, the kind of a Jesus that people imagine in most of the religions, if that kind of a personality were to adapt himself to today's world and today's religions and so on, what would he be like and what would society's reaction be?
Would you recognize a picture of Jesus Christ? Millions would, but almost nobody knows the man. The Ambassador College publication entitled The Real Jesus shows how the traditional Renaissance paintings of Jesus are diametrically opposed to the dynamic, masculine, powerful Christ described in your Bible. The man from Galilee is shrouded in mystery. Millions disagree on the manner of his birth, his message, his family, why and if he died, his resurrection, and where he is now. The Christian world is confused about the true Jesus, but now you can discover the real Jesus. You can prove what he taught, how he lived, and who he is from the pages of your own Bible. You'll see why the traditional Sunday school picture of Christ is not the real Jesus. Write for this surprising booklet. Your copy will be sent free of charge when you request The Real Jesus. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
A main clue is simply to look into what Jesus Christ was like when he did come to the earth nearly 2,000 years ago. He socialized with people at all levels. He was a friend of the rich as well as the poor. He could talk animatedly and easily with Roman officers. He could talk rather strongly and again animatedly and easily with leaders of the Jewish Pharisaical religion as well as leaders of the Sadducees and Herodians and other sects. And even though they were in the minority of that day, and people have a mistaken idea that the day in which Jesus walked the earth was terribly religious, that about 99.44% of them were pure religionists, and Jesus was walking around amongst a lot of people doing nothing more than saying, "Bless you, Jesus, and praise the Lord, and we're glad you're here." They don't seem to get the idea that he was not received by his own generation, that they did not recognize him either. But people keep saying, "Oh, if I'd only lived back in Bible days." Well, you've got your wish because you're living in Bible days. The Bible describes these days in which we live right now. And as a matter of fact, most of all biblical prophecy is either being about to be or yet to be fulfilled rather than has been fulfilled in the past. But Jesus socialized with people who were called publicans, a kind of an intelligentsia group of people that manipulated monies, and remember they lived in a country, were occupied by the Roman government, a country where there were many, many different borders and different kinds of monies being used, with the necessity to pay various kinds of taxes and the requirement of the average person who was illiterate to measure up to certain lawful requirements of taxation and so on. And so these people constantly were taking advantage of the little people and general public, and Jesus rebuked them pretty strongly for that. Sinners, prostitutes, you might say gamblers, and people like this. Jesus, I imagine, would have been bitterly accused if he were here today by the press and the media. They would have said, "Well, look, one day he's up here hobnobbling these characters in some insurance agency, and the next minute he's sitting down there in Joe's or Dirty Eddie's local bar talking to some gal that's probably had three husbands and has currently got an affair going on with a local dentist." And they wouldn't like that at all, because they would say, if he were a Christian, he wouldn't be talking to some old broad like that. And, of course, that's the way people still are today. They judge God by what people do. They say, he can't be a Christian, or if that's religion, I don't want any of that, seeming to imply that unless some other person measures up to your own idea of what's righteous and pure and perfect, well, then God can't be right. Well, Jesus drank wine. A lot of people don't want to believe that. They want to argue with it. Okay, fine, let them. He enjoyed a fine steak. That's also, believe it or not, provable by the Bible. And said that he would sit down at meat again in the kingdom of God. And that day they accused him because he was both eating meat and drinking wine and attending sometimes big banquets and festivals and the like, including a very famous wedding feast, that he was both gluttonous. They said that he was guilty of overeating and banqueting and that type of thing, and that he was a wine bibber, meaning that he was a drunken sot. We would say wino. Now, Jesus was a person who had natural curiosity. He was a human being. The Bible shows that he was evidently of the tribe of Judah, the seed of Abraham, that he was a human being, an average, everyday Jew of his day. Today, you can get in a fight in some places if you dare say that Jesus was a Jew. The Bible dares to say it. I just accept it because the Bible is the most authenticated and historically accurate source to which I can go to find out about the real Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One time, Jesus asked his own disciples, as we've covered in past programs, "Whom do men say that I am?" He kind of wanted to check up on his press. And so the disciples say, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say that you're Jeremiah, or Elijah, or one of the prophets." And he said, "Well, fine, but who do you say that I am?" And that's when Peter said, "We say, and I say, that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went on to say, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because man, flesh and blood, has not revealed it to you, but the Spirit of my Father which is in heaven." They understood, and yet even later on they didn't understand, because they kind of lost that knowledge and faith, and it shows in the Bible that at the last moments of the great falling out of the betrayal by Judas Iscariot, and Jesus being taken out and beaten half to death and then put up on a tree, as the Bible says, an upright pail or a stake, some people feel it was a cross, hung up there and allowed to bleed to death, which he did from a terrible stab wound finally of a big Roman spear in the side, that his disciples fled, and they all forsook him even at that time. And yet people get a completely different idea than what the Bible does say about it. Now today people might say, "Well, who is this man?" They might call him almost anything. They could say, "Well, he's an offshoot of us and such, because I think he sprung out of this bunch of John the Baptizer's character, this wizard of the Mojave Desert, or whatever he is, out there baptizing people where there isn't much water." They would have all sorts of ideas. Now, the real Jesus had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And it doesn't say how many sisters, but the Bible does say sisters, plural. Now, that's at least six. You've got to have at least two of them, two girls, to make the word be plural. Obviously, I think because of the practice of having large families at that time, he may have had three or four or five sisters, it doesn't really say, but a minimum of two. So by the smallest possible biblical statement concerning the size of Jesus' family, Mary had seven children. That kind of puts her back in pioneer status in the United States, where mothers were tending to have 7 and 8 and 9 and even as many as 11 and more children in the early United States of America. What conclusion would people draw from this today? If someone came who appeared as if he were Jesus Christ and had a bunch of brothers and sisters, they would say, no, you can't be Christ, because Christ couldn't have any brothers and sisters. And of course, if Jesus came as a carpenter, he'd have to go on some kind of a diet for about 5 or 6 years, because from earlier robust health and maybe darkened by the wind and the sun working out of doors seasonally, he'd have to become skinny and scrawny and sunken-chested and kind of effeminate-looking. And in place of a masculine guy who was working out of doors, and carpenters in those days were not just pounding nails, and carpenters don't just pound nails today, as far as that was concerned, but it was more like being a partner in a general contracting firm. Well, it had to do with site preparation. It had to do with moving large stones, with knowing principles of block and tackle and leverage and this type of thing, and even erecting arches and so on. It had to do with what we might call the whole bit of concrete finishing and mosaic work. As many of the floors were done in those days, they were not only crude in the sense of large stonework and stone masonry, but they were very, very finished in the interiors. And you can still see some of the ruins that are there to this day, that it took a far different kind of a job than just somebody pounding nails and boards. But that was 18 years of Jesus' life, from the time he was a young boy until age 30, that he labored in that kind of work. So he probably would have also, if he were to come today in that form, want to grow long hair, but yet it'd be more difficult to tell him apart from the others who grew long hair today. That is, grow long hair if that's the Jesus that you're imagining in the past. But actually, Jesus didn't have long hair, and the Bible proves that he did not. Now, what about the 12 disciples who would become 12 apostles? Today, I guess you'd call them Pete and Andy. They were brothers. Then it'd be Jim and John Zebedee, and Jim Alphaeus, or the son of the less, Phil, Bart, Tom, and Matt, who incidentally worked for the IRS, and maybe Thad, Simon, and Jude, or Judd, they'd probably call him for short, and he was the guy that carried the money bags and the fellow that betrayed Jesus. Well, the 12 disciples were ordained to preach, to heal, and to cast out demons. Today, to seriously propose to a non-religious society that a demon even exists puts you in the area of being an absolute weirdo and an oddball, yet Jesus Christ said they did, and it seems to say in the Bible time and again that he came in direct contact with people who were influenced by demons. Now today, because people make enormously dangerous decisions involving sometimes, and the pity of it is nearly always involving somebody else's life, and that's where it's sad, and not their own, as in the case of parents who might make a decision to deprive their own child of some very needed medical attention because of some belief in demons and so on. I cannot condone that, and I am not condoning it. I have said over and over again that anyone, either who through, let's say, coercion, or threat, fear of some kind of religious retribution, fear of excommunication from a church organization, implied threat from the pulpit of some fear of God, anybody who would preach or teach as a minister that you or any other human being should make a decision that is dangerous to you from the standpoint of rejecting medical aid or medical help of some sort if you have need of it, I think such a person ought to go to jail myself. Now, of course, there are people who have written articles that Armstrong doesn't believe in doctors. Well, that is an entire, I'll call that pure grandmother's applesauce, if you'll pardon the expression. It isn't true at all, and as a matter of actual practice, the Worldwide Church of God employs its own doctors, and its members do go to physicians, I'm sure, many, many times per year in most cases. And while we do believe God can heal, we also know that is a matter of personal, individual faith. Now, I'm getting off the subject in a sense. But you know, the original 12 disciples were ordained to do that. And today, can you imagine the difficulties? We'll come back in a moment and we'll say, what if Jesus were here today? What would it be like on TV, radio, general personal appearances in the public? What about opinions expressed in the press? What would he have to compete with when you talk about the media and getting his message before the general public? And what about a license to practice medicine for those 12 disciples?
For 40 years, the Plain Truth magazine has been supplying the missing dimension in education.
The Plain Truth is published monthly as a facet of Ambassador College's In the Home Educational Service. It maintains an editorial policy that incorporates this missing dimension in education, biblical understanding. The Plain Truth, timely, informative articles deal with subjects covering success in business, recreation, politics, religion, farming. Each issue not only documents the state of today's society, but offers hope for a better world tomorrow. To serve its more than 6 million readers, The Plain Truth is published in 5 languages and is available without price or obligation to all who request it. Join the growing worldwide readership. Request your subscription to the magazine with a 40-year history of educational service to mankind. The Plain Truth. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales, 2001.
You know, if Jesus Christ came today, he wouldn't even be called Jesus Christ. I'm not kidding, because you see, Christ is really taken from a Greek word that has to do with Messiah. And so maybe there would be a completely different connotation in the English language. Maybe it would be Savior. But you know, in the Spanish language, there are many people, because of the religious connotation, I'm sure, of many Latin-speaking countries, who are named Jesus. But we would pronounce it in Spanish, Jesus. But it was true in Jesus' day that that was a fairly common name. It was just like saying Joseph or Thomas. I suppose those, because their Bible names, are still fairly common. But George or Henry or John or Bill. So you can't even guarantee that if God did decide, which he hasn't and isn't going to send Jesus Christ of Nazareth to this earth as a carpenter today, like at his first coming, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, to qualify for rulership over the world, to die for the sins of the world, to call and to ordain his own 12 disciples, to build his church for the many reasons he came, except those that the world seems to think were reasons for which he came, none of which are true reasons, and one of the major of which is the idea that Jesus came to save the world, which he did not. He did not try to do then. He is not trying to do today. But if he did come, you might have a name there somewhere. Let's just assume it is Jesus Christ, so you know who we're talking about. And it might say that he was trying to get the message out before the public. He wouldn't really. I'll explain later. But if he did, who would he have to compete with? Well, the Saturday night revivals, Sunday afternoon bazaars and sports. He'd have to compete with Monday night football, of course, with Tuesday night movies, Wednesday night bingo games. He'd have to compete with Thursday's Kiwanis, elk, lions, and moose, and maybe even the swamp buzzard meeting. I don't know. There are all kinds of animals that we name ourselves after. Not too many horse flies running around or deer flies. Friday is TGIF day. And so on, but he would have to compete with every last bit of that, and it would probably say, Jesus Christ Religion. And would you turn to watch it? I mean, even if you saw that just exactly like that, today, in prime time, you had a choice, you know, NFL football, Jesus Christ Religion. You think, some weirdo is preaching about Jesus Christ, and so on, I'm not going to watch that. Well, he'd have to compete with drive-in services for those who are on the go. Mark Twain once said, nobody likes to be preached at, and he was certainly right. We got short and form services today in the religious field where people try to keep it within 10 to 12 minutes because they know it's a great day for golf, even though tacitly the church may not even believe in golf. And what about the disciples? He'd have to have a completely different bunch of disciples than we would think of today. And I'll probably have to stretch some of this and tell you about it next time because the comparisons are absolutely endless. He would be accused of being a racist. They would say, what are you doing with all those white followers? You've got to have at least one or two people of various minority groups, and you probably at least ought to have 6 women and at least one homosexual for representation. And some of the churches would probably demand that. I mean, if Jesus came along with 12 disciples today, he'd have to have at least 2 or 3 of them who would be black, one who would be a Mexican-American and an American Indian, if it's in the United States. It depends on the country to which you're going and which one you're talking about. Since Jesus came to the entirety of the world, really, and his universality is evident to us all, said one man one time, and I don't quite like the way that is stated, but that's the way people look at it. He belongs in that sense, though that isn't the right way to put it, to all races. Actually, all races belong to him, and he is the author, the originator, and the creator of them. But what a sticky problem it would be. And then he would get on this program, and he would say things like, he would probably tell you that you ought to honestly pay your taxes, not cheat on your income. You shouldn't pad the expense account. He would probably talk about marriage and the home. He would probably talk about pollution and laws of the land. He would probably talk about respecting and even praying for government authority. He'd probably lay the law down about the Ten Commandments and say not only that you should obey the letter, but you should obey the spirit of the law, and he would magnify and enlarge those commandments to say, you've heard of old time it was said, you shall not kill. I'm telling you that when you get angry and you hate somebody in your heart, you're guilty of murder, and that's punishable by death for all eternity unless it's repented of. And then by the time he got through with this program, which none of the churches would like or accept or believe, somebody would probably say, the opinions expressed on the foregoing program do not necessarily reflect the views of this station or of its sponsors, and so on. And he would also have to compete with the convenience Christians. He'd have to compete with practically everybody, but really, Jesus wouldn't compete with any of them because he wouldn't be like any of them. How would Jesus' ministry be hampered in our society? Maybe people would say he was born of a virgin, and people would say, a virgin? Where are you even going to find such a person today? And then, of course, all of the arguments would come, well, it's a cover-up, and he's going into religion because he's illegitimate. Well, do you know that that happened during Jesus' day? Here's the point to the whole thing. In the first place, Jesus would not come competing with anybody. He would not come trying to get on Meet the Press and Face the Nation and have interviews with major news media and magazines and the like. He would come exactly as he did then, if he were to come that way again, which he is not. And the way he did then, well, to call his disciples privately, to warn them, don't tell any man who I am, to talk sometimes in such ambiguous terms that even the people who listened didn't understand what he said. He would look like the average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill commoner of his day. He would be a person who would advocate obedience and respect for law and government, payment of taxes, quiet citizens' duties. He would look differently, act differently than people think. He would not try to compete whatsoever. He would even insist that when miracles were performed, that people kept it quiet and didn't make a sensation out of it. The real Jesus Christ of Nazareth revealed in the Bible and the figment of men's imagination, the traditional Christ of this world, are two totally separate personalities. And if you want to find out all about the real Jesus, then write for this booklet entitled The Real Jesus, and also the booklet we advertise on Read the Book. That's about the Bible itself. And it will absolutely dumbfound you to show you a personality, an appearance, and an entire way of life, an approach that is completely different from the one you've heard. You know the Old Testament says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord? You know the Old Testament says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself? Did you know that's an Old Testament scripture? You know that the Old Testament says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might? Did you know that the New Testament says this? Christ judges and makes war. Did you know that the New Testament says, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments? And do you know that the New Testament says, but will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I bet lots of people didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, this booklet on Read the Book has some real surprises in store for you. There's one section here that gives you a brief history of how many men died to bring you this book, that is the Bible. And it shows you how you can memorize, not by rote memory every segment of the Bible, but certain key scriptures. It gives you an overview of the Bible. It makes the Bible come alive, makes it much more interesting. And certainly, those of you with children, it will help you teach them. So you write for this booklet, Read the Book. Just write for the booklet on the book. That's easy. The booklet on the Bible, or the book. You mention the book, we'll know what you mean. It's free of charge, no price. It's called Read the Book.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.